Our scripture reading for today continues in our 1 John series as we go through 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 14. Won't you hear these words? Now by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments is a liar, and in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says, I abide in him, ought to walk just as he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. And whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, because you have conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young people, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we are in our second week of our sermon series, Children of God Seeking the Light. This is a great series where we are just diving right into 1 John. It's found in the back of the Old Testament, and I hope that you are reading along. I love this, our communications department came up with this amazing graphic for the sermon series, Children of God Seeking the Light, and there's a little child holding a lantern, seeking the light of God. This is a great sermon series. I'm really excited about study guide that we're using for this sermon series. It's by N.T. Wright. We have copies here in the church office, and I hope that you'll pick one up and follow it along. And by doing so, you will meet one of the challenges that I'm going to place before you this morning as a part of our sermon. So let's pause and take a moment to have a word of prayer. Most holy and gracious God, we ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to you this morning. Allow the words that I speak to be from you to us. Allow us to absorb them, and then do with them as you desire. In Christ's name, amen. Today I want to focus on the line in our sermon series, Seeking the Light. As children of God, as followers of Jesus, we should make it our desire, our pursuit, to seek the light of God. In his sermon last week, Pastor Rockford said this. He said, light refers to guidance and wisdom for how we live and conduct ourselves. God's light both reveals our sin and shows us how to avoid error. It also guides us to live faithful to the way of Jesus. But how? How do we seek the light of God? Meaning, how are we to pursue illumination in our lives so that we begin to see the world as God sees the world? How do we seek the light so that we see ourselves as God sees us? And how do we live in the light so that our lives reflect the faith that we proclaim? You know, it's easy to say, love God, love your neighbor, follow God's command, stop sinning. And when we hear this and we understand it, but how do we do it? How do we make sure our lives are in line with the expectations of God? How do we walk as children of God seeking the light? In today's passage, we find that John is focusing on what is referred to as the new old command. Now, the old command would refer to Jesus' call to love God and to love others that's found in Matthew 22. The new command is really the old command seen through the illustration of divine and dramatic love demonstrated by Jesus on the cross and through the way that Jesus lived his life. Literally, John says in the first chapter of his gospel the Word became flesh. The Word of God became human in Jesus Christ, a living example of how we should live. And because Jesus and his life, coupled with his death on the cross, followed by his resurrection, we have a better understanding of what it means to live out the command to love God and love others. But again, you can tell me all you want how I am supposed to live, but what is it that actually motivates me to do it? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, John talks about knowing God. And to know God means that we follow God's commands. I want to read to you one of the questions that is posed in the second part of this study from N.T. Wright in the study guide. N.T. Wright writes this. He says, obeying or disobeying God's command would appear to be a matter of externals, what we do or refrain from doing. But John explains obedience as a matter of the heart. From my notes in my study Bible, my NIV study Bible, I read this. I read, God's love is made complete in us when it moves us from believing to acting. When our love for God expresses itself in acts of obedience to God, then it is complete. Then we are walking in the light. Okay, so simply put, living in the way that God intends us to live, as N.T. Wright notes, is a heart issue. Our heart guides our actions. What we believe in our heart, what we hold dear and deep inside of our heart, is reflected in our actions. We can say one thing, but if what we say goes against what we believe in our heart, eventually the truth of our hearts will be revealed in our actions. Your actions do not betray what you believe in your heart. Let me say that again. Your actions do not betray what you believe in your heart. If we are to live a life of love, we must realize that obedience to God is a matter of the heart. And I believe and have experienced in my own life that there are four essentials to getting my heart right so that I can live a life in the light of God. A life that's committed to the way of Jesus, a life that's committed to loving God and loving others, a life that is devoted to the call placed upon each of our lives. Four essentials. And these four essentials are prayer, worship, study, and service. Now, if you know me, you know I like acronyms, but I couldn't make this into an acronym. So we're just going to have to remember this. PWSS, prayer, worship, study, service. Write this down. I want you to remember this. Okay, I want to talk about each of these really briefly this morning. First of all, prayer. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Prayer is our everyday, every moment, every situation connection with God. Prayer is expressing the need from our heart to God. B.W. Palmer, in his book, Theology of Prayer, says that it is the language of dependence. Prayer is the language of dependence. By praying to God, we are recognizing our utter dependence upon God. We understand and are reminded that we cannot do it alone. And by it, I mean anything and everything we face in this life. From the largest, scariest event or news we face, to the tiniest of worries that occupy our minds, to be obedient to God, for our hearts to guide us to walk in the light, we must have that deep connection with God that comes through prayer. Prayer is the way that we connect our heart to God so that our heart will guide our lives. Prayer is our lifeblood. John Wesley says this. He says, prayer is where the action is. If we are to act, to live as God wants us to live, then we must recognize, as John Wesley goes on to say, God does nothing except in response to the believing prayer. When I pray, things happen. The mountains in my life are moved, and I'm motivated to be the person that God wants me to be. In prayer, I find wisdom and direction and motivation and hope for every situation in my life. Author Barry York says this. He says, picture true prayer as an offering rising up and seeking heaven's attention. Revelation 8:5 tells us that prayer is like incense offered before the Lord in the temple. Scripture goes on to teach us that prayer is casting our anxieties on God, crying to God in times of our trouble, and making our needs known to Him in every circumstance. And it is seeking the forgiveness that each and every one of us needs when we go astray. Prayer is desire offered to God. And in response to the power of the Holy Spirit, we gain the insight and wisdom into how God desires us to live our lives. But one of the things that holds us back from praying is many of us don't think we really know how or that we're not going to do it right. You know, there are a variety of ways that you can pray. One is to pray the Lord's Prayer every morning when you get up and every night right before you go to bed. Thinking about God throughout the day and giving thanks when you see special situations. Thinking of people that are important in your life and lifting each of them up, even if it's just by name, in prayer to God. You can open up the book of Psalms and read some of those as a prayer back to God. Or what about journal prayer, where you literally just write a letter to God in a journal and keep track of that and see how God is answering your prayers over time. Prayer should be our first thought, not an afterthought. And through prayer, God will serve as our guide, giving our heart direction where we need to go and what we need to do as we seek the light of God. Okay, so that's prayer. Let's talk about worship. John Piper says that true worship is valuing and treasuring God above all things. Now, you and I are pulled in 1,000 different directions each day. Our deep desires, our hopes, and our dreams, coupled with the pressures that we face each and every day, often cause us to lose sight of who God calls us to be. Worship focuses us back on God. It recalibrates our heart to look more like the heart of God. It is the fuel that propels us back into the world to be the people that God wants us to be. We realize in worship that we cannot be who God wants us to be without God at the center of our hearts, at the center of our lives. Worship teaches us, inspires us, motivates us, and launches us into the world. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." To be still for me, means that I pause my own life, my own desires, my own hopes, and even my own dreams. I pause them and put all of my focus on God. And in that moment of pausing myself and my desires, I have the opportunity to see more clearly who it is that God is and who it is that God wants me to be. Worship is about bowing down figuratively to God and recognizing God as the master of the universe. Fred Bittner says this, "Worship should not be a painful ritual that takes place week after week. Genuine worship is alive, ever-changing, and an always challenging experience where we discover more about the Lord of our lives. And the more we know about God, the more we can celebrate God. And the more we celebrate, the more like God we become." And I don't know about you, but I have missed that corporate worship during this pandemic. Last Sunday was when we sang the hymns and the organ and being together with lots of people. It reminded me the importance of worship. It was motivating and it was inspiring. Corporate worship, meaning worship where we get together and get to worship together, reminds us that we are not alone. Worship is best experienced in the presence of others, realizing that it's not about me, but about the one who created the universe and is creating all things, prayer and worship. Let's talk about study. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we recognize that Scripture is the primary source of our beliefs and of our doctrine. Scripture tells us who God is and tells us who we are, and tells us who we are in relation to God and in relation to each other. The Bible is our story. We are to claim it and to proclaim it. The Bible is a living document that meets us where we are and has something to say to us. Because it is a living document, the message contained in the pages of the Bible will meet us where we are in different ways at different times in our lives. You can read the same story over and over and over again, and each time have something new revealed to you, something wonderful and challenging and moving you to crack open the pages. For example, I think about the story of the feeding of the 5,000 found in all four Gospels. And there are many stories within this greater story. And each time I read it, something else jumps out at me, meeting me where I am at that particular moment. For example, you know, this is a huge group of people that are following Jesus. And they're following Jesus because they know there is something about Jesus that would change their lives. Am I willing to leave it all to follow Jesus? The story takes place, the feeding of the 5,000 takes place right after Jesus learns of the death of John the Baptist. And he actually leaves the crowd to find solitude, but this crowd follows him. And when Jesus sees the crowds, he doesn't turn them away. He doesn't become angry and send them off. Rather, he shifts his focus from his own mourning to the needs of the people. And I see in that, once again, the sacrifice of Jesus and find myself challenged to do the same. I think about the doubt of the disciples when confronted with how they would feed over 5,000 people. How many times have I doubted God, that God would even come through in my time of need? And yet, as God does in this story, through Jesus, he comes through for me over and over again. And what about that little boy who shares the tiny amount he has, 2 loaves of bread and 5 small fish? What faith that little boy had. Instead of hoarding the food for himself and his own family, he shares it. Certainly, he had to think to himself, how in the world will this ever feed everyone? I personally would have been thinking, I'm not going to share this. I'm going to keep it for myself. I'm taught to share, and the importance of God using what I share with others to then create abundance. And then the abundance of the food left over at the end of the story, teaching me about God's provision in times when I wonder how in the world a situation I find myself in will resolve itself. The stories of Scripture meet me where I am and feed my light at just the right time in just the right way. Our individual experiences in Scripture help us because they move us in different ways. And the study of Scripture is important because it shows us how we are to act towards God and towards others. And we come face to face with Jesus, the greatest story ever told. The study of Scripture comes from cracking open the Bible as well as reading and studying inspired words from experts and teachers. The collective wisdom of each of us as we study the Scriptures can move our hearts in a direction that ultimately moves us to act in the way that God has inspired us and inspires our heart, guiding us to walk in the light. So prayer, worship, study, and now service. I messed it up myself. Prayer, worship, study, and now service. You know what? If we could retake this, I totally would, but we're gonna plow on. Service. Now, you will find yourself gravitating to one of these more than others, and each are vitally important to that strong heart, but some will make your heart sing more than others. And for me, my heartbeat comes from service. I love missions. By being the hands and feet of Jesus to a world in need, we literally become participants in the kingdom of God. We respond to the direct commands from Jesus throughout the Gospels to care for those who are hurting and those who are in need and those who are the least of these. And in serving others, we encounter the risen Christ in real and tangible ways. Serving allows us to practice living in the light. And the more we do it, the more we need to continue doing it. Service is the tangible expression of the light that lives in our heart. Service, simply put, is laying down our time, our gifts, our talents, and our treasures for the benefit of another by the grace that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Service denies self and gives freely back to God. Through serving others, our hearts are softened to the plight of many here and around the world and actually puts into practice the very call that each of us has. Our hearts are changed and we begin to see the world in a new light. And in doing so, we see the world is not exactly how God desires it to be. While service as a command is about taking care of the needs of those around us, the amazing thing about how God works is that it also strengthens my own light, strengthens my own heart as I'm serving others. Service gives us the opportunity to witness firsthand the power of God and what it means to walk in the light. Prayer, worship, study, and service. So, this plant. Over the last few months, as we have sat up here recording worship and during worship on Sunday mornings, I've watched these plants. I've watched new buds and new growth. I've watched flower buds come and go. And I began to think a little bit about how the result of what I see up here is really what is going on down here. The soil that protects the roots and allows them to grow. The water and the fertilizer that nourishes the entire plant, not just the leaves, but it's down in the dirt. It reaches the heart of the plant. Even the sunshine, while absorbed by the leaves themselves, gives strength and nourishment to what is below the surface. If what is going on in the dirt is not healthy, the plant itself will bear the result. So it is with you and I. As we strive to walk in the light of God, what goes on in our heart will bear result in the way that we live the way that we love, the actions we take or don't take, and the way that we reflect God. Let us pray. God, we ask you, as we seek the light, to once again show us the way. We ask, O God, that as we look to you through prayer and worship and study and service, that you will again reveal yourself to us, that you will strengthen our heart so that it is revealed in the actions that we take. And we ask, O God, that you will bless us each and every day. In Christ's name, amen.